Good morning again. So, let's see. This morning I read in Acts chapter 5, verses 17 through 42. And it was basically something that kind of came out of something we discussed in the life application class a few weeks ago. But the apostles basically showing what it means and the importance of obeying God no matter what. Not man, but God. And standing by that obedience and what needs to be done. So throughout the whole Bible, no matter where you turn or what section you read, you're going to find a constant theme of the importance of obedience. And when God's not obeyed, there's usually some type of consequence. And when he is obeyed, there's usually some type of reward. You can pretty much turn anywhere, and it's a continual theme throughout the whole thing. So we as parents, most of us are parents. I see very little kids and older kids and, well, even some kids whose parents are still here. And so they may be older kids, but they're still kids. Parents expect obedience. Am I right? Don't most heads, adults, if you have a kid, do you expect obedience from your kids? Okay. So, not always the case, not always takes place, and not always happens. But I'm just curious, because I was sitting down there. If you are a kid, a youth, somebody under 18, there we go, I see a couple eyes now. There we go, there's a few more. Just as a show of hands, and parents, I don't want you to look, just as a show of hands, on one, maybe two hands if it's really necessary, when your parent asks you to do something, how many times do you think they want to ask? Show me with your fingers, however many fingers you have. If you need more than two hands, I'm going to tell you, you got a real problem. Boys, I'm curious. Talon? Okay, oh, you're holding it right here by your eye? Okay. The question, Talon, was how many times do your parents want you to ask something? Ask you to do something? What do you think? I just asked a show of hands, fingers. Okay. Figures. Doesn't understand the question. Tristan, you know. He knows what'll happen if I have to do that. Anyway, okay, kids, you can put your hands down. Your parents were not looking at all. Parents, just out of curiosity, if you have a child that you have raised or somebody under you, how many times do you really want to ask your child before they actually obey you and do what they say? Come on, Elmo, you got kids. How many times did you want to ask? Okay. I just want to go through. Oh, wow. All right. A couple people expect their kids to read minds, and they cannot. So, but the majority, for those who cannot see or did not see what was taking place, majority, whether you're, no matter what age of the kid or the age of the parent, once, one finger went up. So they only wanted to be asked once, with the exception of two people who expect their kids to be mind readers. Okay, they should notice that things are dirty and need to be cleaned up. Maybe. All right. So leave it to two to make things challenging. All right. So why do we want things to be done the first time? Why do we want to only ask once? There's a variety of reasons why somebody expects and wants and desires obedience. Okay. A lot of times, it's because you don't want them to make a mistake. You don't want them to maybe make the same mistake you made as a child. Or you just know that it's a mistake and you don't want them to do it. So you're trying to prevent them from making a bad choice. A lot of times it's for their own safety. If you don't do this, there's a good chance something bad is really going to happen. It might be for preparation for something, because some things take steps. And so you want them to be able to do the first step before they can get to the next step and continue down that path. Sometimes it's dependence on others. I have three boys, so sometimes in order for the second one to do a task, the first one needs to finish their task before the second can do theirs, and then the third do theirs. So there's a progression of, they depend. You need it to happen for dependency of things to continue to move smoothly. Why do people normally obey? Straight up obedience. I have kids, I have to do PE with my students, and I don't get the best students in the world, but I have to do PE with them every day. Not a single one argues with me. Not a single one takes it lightly. They do what they're asked to do. The campus supervisor, whose wife is actually a PE teacher at the school, kind of looks at them and looks at me and says, "How do you get them to do that?" Like, I don't give them a choice. The expectation is they will obey. Whatever I ask them to do, they need to do. And I've been lucky. They've done it. So whether it's their reasoning for doing it may vary, but my expectation is they'll obey, and they always have. They leave my class, and they're sore and tired from PE more than they are from their regular PE class, because they actually are doing what they're being asked to do. Sometimes people will obey as a kind of a gradual commitment. Just like, you know, okay, I'll do this little step, and then you kind of get pulled into a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. And so that's one way that we obey. Sometimes it's contractual. Those of us that have a contract within our jobs, we do what we're told because it's a part of our contract. It's expected. And if we don't, we won't get paid. If we do, we will get paid. So there's a variety of reasons for obedience, and a variety of, you know, reasons why we follow through with obedience. Sometimes people give in just to peer pressure. They'll obey because everybody else is. It's the thing to do. Everybody else is doing it, so I'm going to follow. Sometimes that works in a good nature, and sometimes not. But obedience is pretty important. And so what we're going to look at is this morning is, as Christians, why is it so important for us to obey God? And it may seem simple, but there's some good reminders as to what kind of obedience, what it looks like, and why we should have it. So we're going to start in John chapter 14 and verse 15. In John chapter 14, verse 15, it says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you, so that you will be with you forever." So if we love God, if we love Christ, this is Jesus talking, if we love him, we're going to keep his commands. Which ones? All of them. It's not pick and choose. He's not picking and choosing which ones. It's all of them. So when Christ is telling us to do something, he's our Savior. Is that reason enough to do it? He's an authority. He's the person that we should strive to be like. Is that reason enough to obey? Should be. Our motivation should be to please him. Our motivation is to obey so that Christ knows that we love him, that we accept and understand the sacrifice that he gave. That's one reason why we need to obey. Christ tells us to. We need to show our love for him. In Romans 12 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy," God gave us mercy, "to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." We're supposed to have the right mindset. We're supposed to have the right attitude for everything that God has done for us, for everything that Christ has done for us. Our attitude needs to be right. That's how we know that we can worship Him. That's how we show our gratitude for what was done for us. We obey that. We have to show worship for that. We have to show that we know, understand, and are willing to do and follow God's word. It's done by our actions, by what we do with our own bodies. We need to put our bodies forward and make sure that we are that living sacrifice. And in Luke 11, verse 28, it talks about being blessed are those who hear the word and obey it. So when we hear the word and we obey it, we're going to be blessed. So we're going to get some kind of reward. And a lot of times people will obey because of what they're going to get out of it. There's something at the end. There's a paycheck. There is an achievement of some sort that you want or you're desiring. Well, we have that reward waiting for us. In James 1, verses 22, James 1, verses 22 through 25, says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So we don't want to be the person who reads it and forgets it. I don't have the best memory, and I try to remember verses, and certain ones will stick with me. I'm glad we do our weekly memory verse and monthly memory verse or verses that we've been doing now, because that sticks in our heads. But we don't want to just read the word and forget it. We want it to be a part of us. We want it to be the grounds for our choices, for our daily lives, for how we live, how we treat people, how we talk to people, where our mindset is. We want that because then we can look forward to that reward. It's one thing to know something. It's another to do it. So we have to make sure that we're doing it as well in order to achieve those rewards. In 1 John chapter 2, I think that's where it is. Yeah. 1 John chapter 2, not only is it the reward, but it also demonstrates our faith. And faith is an important part of our beliefs. It's why we stand on what we do. It's everything. So we need to have our faith and demonstrate that faith on a daily basis. When we're obedient, we're demonstrating that faith. In 1 John 2, verses 3 through 6, it says, we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commands. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commands is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. But if anyone who obeys His word, if anyone obeys His word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know that we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must live as Jesus did. And we're not going to live a perfect life, but we're to strive to be Christ-like. We're to strive to move down that path and get as close as we can to being that example for the world, for those that don't have that relationship. We need to have that desire to be transformed. We need to work at being transformed. It's not just going to happen overnight. It requires a lot of work. And our beliefs and our trust and our faith in God is how we show that. That's how we follow His his commands and stay obedient. And then, of course, there's always the negative side on why we don't want to do things. We don't want the punishments. We don't want the negative stuff to take place in our lives. So if we're disobedient, what's that going to lead to within our lives? That's going to lead us down the wrong path. That's where we're going to end up in sin and death. And in Romans 5:18, we're reminded of that. In Romans 5, verses 18 and 19, it says, consequently, just as one trespasses resulted in condemnation for all people, so one righteous act resulted in the justification and life for all people. One person put us all to death. One person separated us from God. One person made a bridge. One person brought us back. One person made it possible for us to be saved again. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22 says, for as in Adam all die. That was the one that trespassed. That was the one that fell away. The one that destroyed the relationship we had with Christ or with God. So Christ, we will be made alive. Okay, so Christ is the one that brought us back. So the separation is our death. If we stay separate, if we don't obey and we don't follow his word, we're going to continue to be separated from him. If we follow Christ and we obey his word and we obey the commandments that he's given us, then we're no longer going to be separated. But we have to obey those commands. In 2 Corinthians, because I don't want to end on a negative note of death and sin. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, in verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves in everything that contaminates the body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Out of reverence for God. We need to purify ourselves. We need to commit to working on becoming more and more holy. We need to work on becoming more and more Christ-like, because that's how we're going to show our reverence for God. That's how we're going to show obedience towards God. That's how we're going to show our love for God, is by drawing ourselves and working at becoming closer to him. Working at following more and more of his commands. In 1 John chapter 5, we're also reminded of this. In verses 2 and 3, this is how we know we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is the love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. So they're not difficult to follow. They're difficult if we follow man, if we follow Satan's way, if we, you know, get pulled into society and the way that society views things as being acceptable. But when we stay focused on God's way, his commands are not unbearable. They're not, you know, things that we cannot accomplish. We just have to keep our mindset and our focus in the right place. So in 2 John and verse 6, he tells us that and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. We show our love for Christ, we show our love for God by being obedient. Every single person in here said they only want to ask once. They want to be obeyed the first time. For whatever reason it might be, they want to be obeyed the first time. I don't think any youth or child thinks that a parent or an adult would want them to do something that would hurt them. I don't think any youth or child would expect or you know anticipate an adult that they look up to would want them to do something negative that would hurt them, either spiritually or physically. They know that the adults are looking out for them, and the adults want what's best for them. God is our Father. He wants what's best for us. We should have that trust in Him. Obedience is necessary, not just some obedience, not picking and choosing what you want to be obedient on. We don't get to decide what's important and what's not. That's not our place. Our place is to be obedient. Our place is to worship Him. Our place is to demonstrate faith with Him, for Him, in Him. Our place is to show love and appreciation for the sacrifices that were made. He wants us to avoid sin and death. He's set up a system to where we can have that, to where we can have that bridge. Christ put that back together for us. What man destroyed, He put back together. He gave us that opportunity. That's why the obedience needs to be there. Not the second time, not the third time, but the first time. As soon as we understand, as soon as we realize what's being asked of us, we should be striving to be more and more like Christ. Those are my thoughts this morning. If anybody is in need to start that obedience or go down that path or wants to refocus on that obedience, we're here and able to help you. We will offer the gospel invitation, and for anybody who needs to start down that path of obedience, following all of His word, not just some of it, and actually be baptized and join the family and be able to follow His word, then we will offer that at this time. Ben?